As Tim mentioned earlier, today begins a new sermon series, which is based around the idea of stewardship. The basic theme is remembering the past and growing into the future. But in that theme, we're going to be talking about invitation, gift, and response. Now, when most people think about stewardship, especially in the context of a church, the first thing that comes to their mind is, well, what's going to go into the offering plate for the next year? But really, that's a very small part of stewardship. Christian stewardship is really all about taking care of God's kingdom, the kingdom that has been entrusted to us, the kingdom of this world that Jesus' life and death ushered in. An encounter with Jesus always involves an invitation to accept his gift of forgiveness and mercy and redemption, and then a grateful response to his mercy and grace. And when all that happens, we become God's stewards. That happened when Jesus invited his disciples to follow him. And oftentimes during a stewardship campaign, the sermon is based on Jesus calling the disciples to follow him. But today we're going to look at a different scripture which also involves Jesus' invitation. This is an invitation into a man's heart. So I'll be reading that scripture in a minute. I don't know how many of you pay any attention to the bulletin cover when you come in on a Sunday morning. Did you look at your bulletin cover? Notice that there's a guy sitting in a tree, looking out over a crowd that appears to be attending some sort of a rally. Maybe the man in the tree was too short to see what was going on. Does that sound familiar to you in terms of a Bible story that you may have heard as a kid? I hope so. Zacchaeus. Yeah, somebody called out Zacchaeus. So today's scripture lesson is about Zacchaeus, who couldn't see over a crowd that came to his town one day. Now, kids in Sunday school or at VBS often learn a song about Zacchaeus. I don't know if this song was around when most of you were little people or not, but it goes something like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Lord came by that day, he looked up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today." And then Zacchaeus was a happy little man. A happy little man was he. Because he got to see the Lord that day. A happy man was he. Now, based on the words to the song, it sounds like the lesson to be learned simply is that Zacchaeus wound up a happy man because he got the best seat in the house when the Jesus parade came to town. I know that's what I thought when I was a little kid and first heard the story of Zacchaeus. I thought, well, how exciting. Zacchaeus got to see Jesus face to face. That's the end of the story. But there's so much more to the story than that. So we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to try to imagine how it may have been heard by Luke's audience. And then I want you to think about the role of the crowd in the story. That's something that we don't always think about, and how that crowd and its role might relate to us today. So hear now the words from the Gospel of Luke, beginning in chapter 19 and going verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through it. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people in the crowd saw this, and they began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." You can almost hear him hissing, can't you? that Jesus, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner again. But Zacchaeus stood up straight and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now Luke's entire gospel, the entire book of Luke, talks about Jesus' thoughts on money and possessions, Jesus' concern for society's outcasts, his heart for healing people, and his views about faith and repentance. All of Luke addresses those things, and Luke chapter 18, the chapter right before the Zacchaeus story, specifically covers all four of those things. In chapter 18, Luke wrote about a very rich man who came to Jesus and said, "Master, what must I do to be saved?" The man was very rich, but he was very sincere, and he knew that he had kept the commandments and the laws of God from the time he was a small boy. He believed that he had been obedient in all things. But Jesus told him that he lacked something vital. He didn't have the ability to get rid of all the stuff that was more important to him than God was. And sadly, we learn in the story that the man was unable to let go of any of that stuff. He walked away from Jesus. He turned and walked away. And Jesus must have shaken his head sadly as he said, "Surely it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." Luke went on to tell another story in chapter 18 about a blind man who was begging along the side of the road that led to Jericho. In Mark's gospel, we're told that that blind man's name was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was an outcast, an outsider, both because of his handicap and because he was poor. And he cried out for mercy. And there was a crowd, as there often was around Jesus, there was a crowd present that day who tried to hush Bartimaeus. They wanted him to be quiet. But Bartimaeus cried out all the louder. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "Lord, I want to see." Jesus told him that his faith had made him well. And the man who was once blind got up and praised God and followed Jesus. And that leads us right into the story about Zacchaeus, because Bartimaeus was sitting on the road to Jericho. And chapter 19 of Luke says Zacchaeus was in Jericho when Jesus came into town. Now, this story we can think of as a one-act play that stars Jesus, of course. It has Zacchaeus as a leading man, but that crowd is present again in the story. Zacchaeus was rich, just like the rich young ruler from chapter 18. Zacchaeus would have been one of those guys who could never make it through the eye of the needle because his money bags got in his way. He held himself at arm's length from God because he had such great possessions. And Zacchaeus would have held himself at arm's length from his neighbors too, because we're told that he was a chief tax collector. That either meant that he was very good at what he did, or he was sitting at the top of a pyramid scheme, getting a commission from the actual tax collectors who went out in the streets and charged people taxes and tacked a big fat commission for themselves on top of that. And then Zacchaeus would have collected on top of that. Tax collectors in Jesus' day were the equivalent of price gougers in our day. I was reading that back when Hurricane Harvey struck, which was 2 years ago now, the people in Texas were victimized by price gougers, some of whom charged $99 for a case of bottled water that ordinarily costs $8. They charged $99 for a case of bottled water and $20 a gallon for gas. The man who was the governor of Texas at the time called those kinds of people reprehensible. And Zacchaeus and his kind of people, tax collectors, was considered reprehensible by the Jews. One ancient historian lumped tax collectors in with pimps and informers. They were subject to being excommunicated from the temple because they were considered to be robbers. And worst of all, they did business with Gentiles, with the Romans. So Zacchaeus was all of that and more. Now, interestingly, the name Zacchaeus in Hebrew actually means pure or innocent. And those are certainly not words that anybody would have used to describe a tax collector. So we're told that Zacchaeus was in Jericho the day that Jesus came to town, and Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. I think that's odd. It doesn't say that he knew who Jesus was and wanted to get a look at him. It says Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, surely everybody by that time had heard of Jesus, heard about this rabbi who taught as one who knew the scriptures, somebody who healed the sick and even raised the dead. Surely everybody had heard of that. But apparently Zacchaeus hadn't. There's no indication that he thought he even needed to see Jesus. He was just curious. He wanted to see who was in town. But maybe Zacchaeus didn't know who Jesus was because of who Zacchaeus was. Remember, he might have been cut off from temple fellowship. He might have been excommunicated. He was probably scorned by his neighbors. Maybe nobody, not even the other tax collectors who had to associate with him from time to time, maybe nobody wanted to have anything to do with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was just as blind as Bartimaeus was, only his was a spiritual blindness. He was an outcast like Bartimaeus, and the widows and the lepers and the poor, the very people that he helped to oppress. Those other outcasts, though, would have had their own community of people of similar backgrounds that they would have been close to. But Zacchaeus may have had no one at all. No friends in town. Nobody to tell him about the holy man who seemed so much more than just a rabbi. And he was in danger of not being able to find out who this Jesus was because he couldn't see over the crowd. So he climbed the closest tree. The children's song makes it sound kind of cute or even funny. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree. But because of the kind of man Zacchaeus was, the kind of life that he had chosen for himself, that act of tree climbing was really pretty sad and pathetic. If Zacchaeus had had any real friends around him that day, surely they would have made room for him to see Jesus, wouldn't they? When I was a little girl and my family would go to parades, when I was a little girl and shorter than what I am now, my father or my uncle would always make sure that I stood in front of them so that I could see. And if I still couldn't see, they would raise me up on their shoulders so that I could get a good look of what was going on. But nobody was offering Zacchaeus anything like that day. I have this mental image of poor Zacchaeus trying to elbow his way up front, and everybody else in the crowd, because they hated Zacchaeus for who he was, just as vigorously shoved themselves in his way so that he couldn't see the Savior. Well, imagine the crowd's astonishment when Jesus stopped right at the base of the tree where Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus would have been peeking down through the branches at Jesus, and Jesus looked up and ordered him to come down. Now, elsewhere in the chapter of Luke, if you look up Luke 12, it says that sometimes the crowds that surrounded Jesus as he walked through the countryside, sometimes the crowds numbered in the thousands. Sometimes they even trampled one another. So can you imagine if the crowd was anywhere near that size that day, and the noise that would have been involved? Children would have been running up and down the streets, screaming and playing and laughing. The women would have been calling out to the children to be careful and be quiet and come by them. The men would have been whistling and clapping and stamping and carrying on, and then suddenly dead silence as Jesus stops and looks up in the tree and calls Zacchaeus by name. Can you imagine Jesus saying, pure, innocent, come down? I can imagine the crowd being totally astonished. Maybe their mouths were hanging open. Maybe Zacchaeus' mouth was hanging open in silence for a moment too. But he wasn't astonished for very long, because Scripture tells us that he hopped right down and gladly welcomed Jesus into his house that day. And the crowd wasn't silent for very long either, because the Scripture tells us that they began to mutter and accuse Zacchaeus and accuse Jesus of hanging out with a sinner again. But then Zacchaeus blurted out something totally unbelievable. He said, okay, Jesus, right here and now, I'm giving away half of what I own, half of my belongings. I'm giving it away. And I'm repaying four times what I owe to anyone I may have cheated. Now, that was going way over and above the Levitical law, what the demands were if a Jew was caught cheating somebody else. That was, Zacchaeus was going way over and above that. What on earth possessed him to suddenly blurt that out? He obviously was responding to something, but what? Jesus didn't say, Zacchaeus, before you come out of that tree, I want you to repent of everything that you've done in the past. I want you to give back everything that you've ever stolen from anybody. Then you come down out of the tree, and then I will go to your house today. That's not the way it happened. Jesus just stopped and looked into the tree and looked into the eyes of a lonely man, looked into the eyes of a sinner, and called him by name. You know, Isaiah 43 tells us that God says, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. So God in the flesh called Zacchaeus. Right in the middle of the mess of a life that Zacchaeus had made for himself, Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' life and offered the gift of God's grace and mercy, which was undeserved and totally unexpected. That was what Zacchaeus responded to, and he was completely transformed. At first, it kind of looks like Zacchaeus was pledging to only give away some of his money. It doesn't sound at all like the encounter that Jesus had with the rich young ruler the chapter before. In that encounter, Jesus said, give away all your possessions and come and follow me. Zacchaeus says, I'm going to give away half of what I own and then four times what I may have defrauded out of anybody. But if you think about it, if he was giving away half of what he owned and then out of what was left, he was paying back four times of the hundreds, if not thousands, of people he had defrauded as a tax collector. He really was giving away his entire fortune. That was a total reversal. That's repentance. That's a miracle. And Jesus pointed out, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation. The release from the power of sin and the restoration to God by his grace. The very last words that Jesus spoke in the Zacchaeus story sum up the entire gospel message. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That was Christ's mission statement. That was what ushered in the kingdom of God.
That was what made stewards of all believers. Zacchaeus became the epitome of the one lost sheep that the shepherd goes after, even though 99 are safely in the fold. Zacchaeus was the lost coin that the woman turned her house upside down to find. Zacchaeus was like blind Bartimaeus on the road. His sight was restored. Even though Zacchaeus didn't have anything wrong with his physical eyes, he got to see more than he ever expected. He was the rich man who, because of God's grace, passed through the eye of the needle and into the kingdom of God. The very kind of person that no one thought could ever get right with God did that day in Jericho. With Jesus, nothing is impossible. There's nothing more important in the world to Jesus than to restore a broken relationship with the Father. Nothing more urgent for him to accomplish than to bring everyone in creation into the kingdom of God and make everyone a steward in that kingdom. Zacchaeus' repentance and his radical transformation were his grateful response to the gift of God's welcoming embrace. And his response wouldn't have been a one-time deal. His life was changed forever. Unlike that encounter with the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus became a steward in God's kingdom. But what about the crowd? Remember, that crowd couldn't be bothered to make room for Zacchaeus to see Jesus. And I wonder how many of us may have been blocked by that same kind of crowd. Or have we been part of that same kind of crowd? Have we ever blocked someone's view of Jesus because we failed to act like Jesus? We didn't show compassion, or we behaved self-righteously, or we didn't actively invite people to participate in the life of the church. In other words, have we ever failed to be good stewards of God's kingdom mission? Christ died to prove how much he wants everyone who believes in him to be able to live in God's presence in his kingdom, here and now. He intends those of us who believe in him to be part of a new crowd, not a crowd that blocks anybody's view, but a crowd that's the body of Christ, the church. We are God's stewards, meant to participate in the kingdom here on earth. Since the church is composed of human beings, we're all very human. It's not perfect, but Christ expects us as a new kind of crowd to go out of our way to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to see and know the Lord. We as Christ's crowd should never prevent anyone from getting a good look at Jesus, not by careless words or silence or by not helping someone in need or by not inviting someone to be part of the Christian community. We must never risk inadvertently elbowing somebody out of the way who is yearning for a glimpse of the Savior. That somebody could be someone out there somewhere in our community, or it could be somebody sitting right here in the pews on Sunday morning. So what kind of a crowd are we? Hopefully we're the church crowd, the crowd that gives every person here and every person outside a clear line of sight, figuratively lifting them to our shoulders if necessary to see who Jesus Christ is and hear his invitation to accept his gift of forgiveness and redemption so that all will respond in love. Let's pray. Gracious God, gracious, loving, holy God, come into our hearts. Let all be aware of your invitation. Let all accept your gifts of salvation, forgiveness, redemption, restoration, and let all respond in kind, out of love, so that anyone who hasn't yet seen you and known you will come to see you and know you. Amen. Our final hymn for today is number 181. Would you stand and sing it, please?